While we as travel writers may be effectively still in lockdown, there are still adventurous singles, couples, and even families out there on the ocean waves. Take the Whitakers, for example, a family of six who gave up life in Dallas, Texas, for the ocean. Father Keith describes it as his midlife crisis, when in 60 days he sold the house, quit his businesses in oil pipelines and aviation, and bought a monohull yacht. Later, he traded up to a 58-foot, six-bedroom catamaran, inspired by Aussie sailing couple Riley and Elena from sailing La Vagabonde. Now Keith says he and his wife Renee will never live on terra firma again, as the ocean provides a wonderful life.
Well, it's great to have a family on the end of the line today. We're speaking to Keith Whitaker, and Keith's the head of a team who are all members of the family. They're on one boat. We'll find out about the boat in a minute, but they are sailing around the world from what I can gather. They're in New Zealand at the moment, and the boat is called Zatara. And there's Keith, and there's Renee, and there's Anna, except she's gone back to school, Jack, Kate, and Finn. And also there was a girlfriend there for a while, so there was a bit of love interest on the side, which made the show a bit of extra dimension to the show. Keith, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I saw you online there the other week, and I've watched a number of episodes. I haven't by any means tried to watch them all. It seems to be all I do these days. But we're interested in talking to people who are doing interesting things, and you certainly are. Now, tell us about the boat, because it obviously has to house your family of normally four children and your wife and yourself. What sort of boat is it, and how many bedrooms does it have, and hot and cold running water? It looks fantastic.
Yeah, so the boat we have right now is a 2006 Privilege 585 model. It's 58.5 feet long, which is about 17.8 meters. It's 9.5 meters. The berth is 9.5 meters, and it has 6 berths, and then you could put two people in each room, so you could have 12 to 15 people on this boat.
I think you got plenty on there now, Keith.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, the idea, I did read somewhere, maybe one of your own promos on the channel, I think on YouTube, that you had a midlife crisis, and instead of buying a Harley or trading in your current wife on a new one, you decided to take everybody on a boat. Is that how it sort of boils down?
It is. We were tired of the city life, and we were looking for a change. We've got a little piece of land up in Montana, up in the mountains, and we were thinking about going up there and living, and just living off the grid and living a simpler lifestyle, raising our own crops and you know, raising our own food, hunting and fishing, and showing our children a different way of life. And we decided one day we'd go. Renee rented a sailboat on the local lake there, right in our backyard, freshwater lake. And we rented this boat, and it just rekindled some dreams of mine. I grew up watching Jacques Cousteau on TV, and I loved diving and scuba diving and being in the water.
Yep.
And so that night I went home and I looked up online, sailing around the world, family sailing around the world. And the first video that come up was Riley and Elena on La Vagabonde.
Wow.
And I saw this Riley character, and I kind of had something in common with him. He was in the oil field, kind of a roughneck kind of character. And he just went and bought that boat sight unseen. And within 60 days of us going on that boat that Renee rented for family night, we had sold everything we had and bought a boat, and we were headed down towards the Panama Canal.
And are you a sailor?
No, I was not a sailor.
Right. So Riley's got the same story, that he wasn't a sailor either. Where were you living? Your Montana is like a holiday place for you, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a place that we were going to retire to and have a place up there, vacation home kind of like place, We just decided to buy a boat instead.
So where were you living though? You talked about the city. Were you in a big city town?
Yeah, we were in a little town called Flower Mound, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas.
Ah, right. Okay. And you were doing the 9-to-5, were you, Keith?
That's right. I owned a oil and gas pipeline construction company and some aviation companies, and I sold all those. The minute we decided to go sailing, I mean, within 48 hours of renting that boat and me watching La Vagabonde, I started selling everything.
Well, that is unbelievable, but it's a great story. I love it. What, and how did your wife take to this idea? Was she a bit concerned about losing the terra firma from under her feet?
No, she really wasn't. Me and Renee had come to a place. It was interesting. We were both in a place in our lives in our early 40s where we were tired of life on land. We were tired of the old suburban grind and the hamster wheel. You know, our kids were, we lived in this pretty decent house and our kids were in rooms. We had to text our kids if we wanted to talk to them because they're so far across the house.
Yeah.
And they were plugged into the YouTube, you know, the video games. They were plugged into the computers and me and Renee, our marriage was, we had a good marriage, but it still wasn't as good as it could be. You know, we had normal problems in our marriage that everybody else has. And we just weren't happy with the results we were getting.
Right. And what about the kids, Keith? How did they take to it? Because your youngest at that stage, when did you start this? How long ago?
This was 4 years ago. So Kate would have been, the youngest would have been, she's 12, so she'd have been 8.
Righto. So how did they respond to this, losing their friends maybe or at least leaving them for a while?
So they weren't very keen on going to the ranch because there was no internet at the ranch.
Oh, really?
And so I said, you guys want to sail around the world or you want to go to the ranch? And they said, oh, let's go sail around the world, live on a boat. That'd be cool. Well, after about a month out there on the water, they realized there's no internet on the boat either.
Right. You have to get to port.
That's right. That's right.
So where did you started from, up in the East Coast, was it?
Yeah. So the first boat we bought was a Beneteau Oceanus 55 monohull. Because that, you know, Riley bought a Beneteau, so I figured if it got him around the world, it could get us around the world. So I bought a Beneteau.
Yep.
And we sailed from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, out to St. Martin in the Eastern Caribbean, and then we went straight down to Panama, and then from Panama we sailed all across the French Polynesia and the Society Islands, Tonga, and then down to Australia, down to Coffs Harbour, and then eventually into Pittwater, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there we sold the monohull, and 2 months later we bought the current boat we're on right now in Greece.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
And is that now? Obviously, Riley and Elena have a cat. You decided to go with a catamaran. Why? Was it a bit more stable, or how did you see it?
Well, we had never been on a catamaran, nor had we ever been on a monohull. But I just had this idea that a monohull was the kind of boat you needed to cross oceans with, because that's what every sailor sold. You know, that was just the traditional way of thinking. And by the time we went from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, down to the Panama Canal, we knew then within 3 months that we wanted a bigger boat and a catamaran, the stability of a catamaran. And we realized that raising a family and living on board a boat, you needed that room, you needed that space and the stability, because 90% of your time, 95% of your time is spent on the anchor and on the hook, what we call being on the hook.
Yes.
And so that's more important than performance of a boat when you're, especially most of the sailing we're doing is downwind sailing anyway.
Right.
It's not going upwind. It's not going into hard weather like a monohull would do. So the catamaran really works good for the mission that we have.
So you literally go from port to port and you're not trying to make great passages overnight or anything, are you?
Well, that's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we do passages over. I mean, the longest passage we've done is 28 days in a row without seeing land.
Oh, okay.
But it's all downwind sailing. Like
yes.
I said, we're sailing with the trade winds, and a catamaran is great for downwind sailing, going across the wind. It's great for that. But going into the wind and going into the weather, it can be a little tougher in a catamaran.
Sure. Now, how do your kids get on for education? Anna, your eldest, has gone off to college back in the States. Is that back in Montana somewhere or Texas?
Actually, she got accepted to Texas Women's University there in Dallas, Texas, Denton, Texas. And so homeschooling. We've homeschooled our kids ever since they were alive. Me and Renee decided that, you know, if somebody was going to brainwash our kids, it might as well be us. So we took on Renee took on the challenge and the workload of homeschooling our kids, and we didn't really know how that was going to turn out. And Anna was our first experiment, and she took the S in America. We have SAT tests and ACT tests. I don't know if that's the same thing in Australia, but
similarly,
we have these entrance exams you have to take, and Anna passed those in the top percentile and got accepted into any college she wanted, and even into the honors programs at these colleges. So we really weren't focused on really teaching our kids high academics, but they've learned how to teach themselves and they have a lot of common sense. And I think it's worked well for them.
Yeah. Well, obviously. Now, how do you deal with the different levels that you've got to got to work with the different ages. You've got kids now from 12 to, 16 is Jack now, is he?
Well, Jack's 17. He'll 17. Be 18 in November.
Right.
So the way we deal with that, and one of the things me and Renee have we've always taught our kids to teach themselves.
Right.
And so our atmosphere and our program on the boat, and once they get to a certain age, once they got to about 10 or 11, probably 10 years old, it's up to them to teach themselves. Renee tells them what she wants them to learn, and then they have to go, they have to get it done. And as they got older, that was the lesson. So like Anna's a good example of that. Anna wanted to go to university. And so me and Renee sat her down and said, well, what do you need to get into university? She goes, well, I don't know. And we said, well, you better find out. It's your job to find out what you need to get into university. And then when you know what you need, then we'll buy the books or do the course studies or whatever you need. Hmm. Then you'll have to do that. And that's exactly what Anna did. She figured out what she needed to get into university. So she said, Mom, I need this. I need this. I need this. And then she took those tests or she took those classes and got right in. And now Jack's a different story. Jack, all he cares about is kite boarding, scuba diving, spear fishing, and hanging out on the boat with pretty girls.
Yeah, well, he certainly did well in that last department. I don't know about the rest, but that was a nice little side story of the pen pal, wasn't she, who he'd communicated with for a couple of years and hadn't actually met her.
That's right. It was a very, very neat experience because Jack and Lily was her name, and they the way they got introduced was Lily's parents got inspired to go sailing around the world because of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they bought a boat and they started sailing, and they were just a little bit ahead of us, I think, in their first passage. And they started following us. And then Jack and Lily started talking to each other on Instagram or one of those kids' social media platforms. And they just got to be good friends. And they talked and talked and talked for 2 years online. And then finally, it looked like their parents were in New Zealand. Their boat was in New Zealand. And we were coming back across for the second time. And our plan was to hook up in Tonga and cruise together all the way through Australia and then over Indonesia and all that part of the world. But something happened for them. They had to get back to the United States. And so they had to fast track it across the Indian Ocean so they could get home. So they decided, because teenagers in love just seem to make their parents miserable, and especially on a boat, it really gets miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So Lily was giving her dad a hard time, I think, and she said, Dad, you need to send me out there so I can see Jack. And we kind of all concurred. And so they flew Lily out to Tahiti when we got to Tahiti, and she spent the next 6 weeks with us from Tahiti to Tonga. And then we flew her back to Darwin, Australia, where she hooked back up with her parents to finish their passages across the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic.
Wow, fantastic. Well, it was a good little side story. Now, how long do you anticipate continuing with the journey, Keith?
Well, at first we were just going to sail around the world and call it good. But since we've been out here, that was going to take about 2 or 3 years. And now we've been out here for 4 years. And I don't think me and Renee will ever quit living on a boat. We love the lifestyle. We love the community out here. We love raising our kids out here. And we love the blue ocean and the animals in it. It's just a wonderful lifestyle. It has its challenges, but it is a wonderful life.
Graham Kinlow there speaking with Keith Whittaker, found on YouTube as Sailing Zatara.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.